Brother Hanson from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. We are now at the third chapter. We kind of got bogged in a little bit yesterday. We may too today also. It's such a good chapter. I'm amazed and just at the power that this third chapter of Jeremiah has. It is just unbelievable. I love it. It just, I really like it. It's such a good chapter. Let's go ahead and get right into the study. It's such a, I know you're going to love it, but let's get right in and start at chapter 3 and verse 12 again. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. Now, in the 11th verse, as you remember yesterday, and the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has proved herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Now, at this point in time, there was one that was a little more righteous than the other. And Israel was not trying to look as if it were trying to obey God, but Judah maintained the appearance of right faith without a true heart, believing the right doctrines without the heartfelt commitment. That's about the way they were. The northern kingdom, Israel, which is the northern kingdom, was in captivity being punished for its sins. The people of Judah undoubtedly looked down on these northern neighbors for their blatant heresy and degraded morals. Even so, Jeremiah promised the remnant of Israel God's blessings if they would just return to him. Judah, still secured in its own mind, should have turned to God after seeing the destruction of Israel. And the people of Judah refused, so Jeremiah startled them by telling them about God's promises to Israel, Israel's remnant, if they would repent. And the faithless Israel is proving it's more righteous than the treacherous Judah. The northern kingdom, even though they both fell into sin. But let's read on. I will look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. I want you to mark down and understand and remember these words. I will not be angry forever. Very, very powerful. If you can imagine this, God is saying here, you know, I'm a gracious God. I'll not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your sin. Only acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your iniquity. This is all that God is asking, folks. Acknowledge your sin. He's not saying, you know what, I expect you to live a perfect life now. No. Or I expect you to, you know, no repentance. The half of repentance, and I want to say this because it may not have been said before, but half of repentance is, or actually more than half, is acknowledging. Acknowledging your iniquity. That's what repentance is, and trying to do something, make an attempt to do something about it. That's what repentance is. It's a change of heart and a change of mind. It's changing your heart to the point where you say, you know what, I'd like to do something about this, and I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. And you know what? He comes in, and he erases those sins. Does that mean he just suddenly makes you a perfect person and a perfect gentleman and a perfect perfect sinner. That's about all it, that's what it amounts to. He makes you a perfect sinner because you're still a sinner. That's the main, that is the sad fact about it, folks. He makes you a perfect sinner. He doesn't expect you to just live in blatantly in sin and act as though you, well, I can't change myself, so I'm just, no. You have to make an attempt to not only acknowledge your sin, but try to live and walk after the Spirit of God. Live and walk after the Spirit of God. Can you do that? That's at least acknowledging who you are, what you are, and trying to make an attempt to change. Do your best. And I, you know, if you fail, God is not going to all of a sudden slap you upside the head. Did you hear that? He's not going to slap you every time you sin. If you're acknowledging it and making an attempt to change, you think you can do that? Make and acknowledge it, do your best, and don't be one of those that ignores God forever. Can't change, so what's the use trying? I've known people like that. They think, well, there's no use in trying. Well, yes, there is a use in trying. You can try your best, and God will meet you halfway. If you walk towards God, He'll walk towards you. But you have to make an attempt to walk toward Him, you know. Do your best. Let's read on. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree. You've scattered your faith all over the place. You've scattered your faith, and you look like a harlot. You look like a harlot. You look like a prostitute. Because you go chasing after these other gods that aren't gods. They're just worthless pieces of garbage made from man's hands, made out of wood, made out of rock, made out of sometimes gold. Doesn't mean that they're a god, though. It just means that you're wasting your time when you go whoring after some of these gods. And you say, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with me, Brother Hansen, because I live in the 20th century. I don't worship idols. And you know, you don't have to worship an idol to worship an idol. You can worship yourself. Yourself can be an idol. Person can be an idol. Car can be an idol. A thought can be an idol. The thought of something can be an idol. And that is the sad part, folks. You need to acknowledge sin and turn to the only God that there is, and that is the Father, Father God. He's the one you have to turn to. You've scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am master. I am a master to you. I am your master. You know, a person can say, you know, I have no master. I have no master but me. That is an idol. When yourself, you're making yourself your master. You do have a master, whether you know it or not. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you know that? You have a master. whether you acknowledge him now or later. You're going to. That's just a matter of fact. And you do not want to be forced to, because if you do it willingly to your God that created you, then you won't be doing it. Well, actually, you will. You'll stand at the judgment seat of everyone. Everybody's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to see what was done in this body and what was actually on record. There's a file on each and every one of us. There's a file that's going to be drug up, and it's not going to be computerized. It's going to be a file that God can grab out of nowhere. The angels know where they're at, the files, and they're going to be drug out, dusted off, and read in our presence. Did you know that? We'll find out who's master, who's not master. I will take you from a city and to from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. In other words, prophets are going to come. They're going to give you the truth. It's up to you whether you want to believe them or not. You can walk away, or you can take it to heart. Believe God. It's up to you. It shall be in those days when you are multiplied and increased in the land, declares the Lord, that they will no longer say the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it will not come to mind, nor will they remember it, nor will they miss it, nor will it be made again. It's not going to be made again. The ark. It's only made one time. The days of Solomon's reign over a united Israel. The people had a beautiful temple, glorious gold everywhere, where they worshiped God. The temple housed the ark of the covenant, the symbol of God's presence with the people. The ark held the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And those days with the ark wouldn't be missed in the future kingdom, because God's presence by the Holy Spirit would be there personally among his people. So you wouldn't have to have an Ark of the Covenant, actually, because God will baptize you in the Spirit, and he'll occupy and live in you, and he'll never leave you. He's closer than a brother. And if we realize that and invite him in, let's invite him in right now. Lord Jesus, if you never have invited the Lord Jesus, let's do it. Just say these words. Lord Jesus, I invite you in to my spirit right now, inside of me. And I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, make me a born-again believer now in Jesus' name, and let me be free of sin, not completely because, you know, but he, in his eyes, you're free of sin because Jesus washed your sins away. If you let him, acknowledge your sins right now. Acknowledge him and say, I am a sinner. I present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is my reasonable service. And I present myself to you now, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Well, that's our time for today, folks. We'll take this up tomorrow on the 15th verse again. If you'd like to go to our website, krciradio.com, krciradio.com. Give us an email. Let us know you're listening. And write to us. Let us know. Write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85922. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hanson saying,
study, show yourself approved to God.